Well, thanks for joining me. It's so good to see the lines already full. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you on. If you did not get through, please send us your prayer intentions. Maggie will be monitoring our Twitter account at Drew Mariani Show, at Drew Mariani Show. And she'll bring them to our prayer team here in just a few minutes. Of course, you can follow me too at Drew Mariani and send me those intentions. I'm going to be heading to the Holy Land in October. You can go to relevantradio.com/Drew and you'll see the information down there, and I'll be more than glad to pray with you. You can put your prayer intentions there and you'll be remembered every place I go. Hey, I've got a special intention today I'd really like you to ask. I'd ask your prayers for. And I'm grateful for your prayers. I want you to know that. I know so often you call in and we pray for one another, or you join me and you know you're part of this beautiful prayer family. There's a power. I really believe there's a power when two or more are gathered. I really stand on the words of Christ. I believe he is present when we pray this chaplet every afternoon. I feel the Holy Spirit sometimes in very palpable, tangible ways. And then we see the fruit of our prayers. I have countless miracles from cancer to kidnapping that have come in. It's just absolutely amazing how God is working at this particular time. And I'm honored to pray for you and with you. And I'm going to ask for your prayers today. I have a sister who's just a year younger than me. And, you know, I have five siblings altogether. I'm one of five. I just got a call from my brother-in-law last night that she was rushed to the hospital. And she's having a procedure right now, just as we're speaking, just as we're about to pray, on her heart. She's having a heart cath done. And her vision went blurry. She passed out. I can't tell you how many people I know that have heart issues lately. And they don't know if it's the heart or not. So I just want to pray that doctors can determine what's wrong with her. And then God, in his mercy, they will embrace her and heal her and allow her the health. I mean, she's the most generous person that I know. I mean, she really is. And when we were kids, I mean, my sister would do anything for me. She's something else. So I love her very much, and I'm praying for her now, and I appreciate your prayers for her. And I want you to pray for several other intentions that have come in. It seems, you know how there's a current that flows through the show sometimes? I think heart and coronary issues is one of those today. I've got two friends. Jay, I've been praying for you, for his recovery. He's a friend of mine who had a pretty invasive procedure and is on the mend. But I got another buddy, a guy named Doug, who's having some issues with his heart as well, and they're really trying to determine what it is and remedy it. So I'm going to pray for him. And I just got this email from Jennifer in Minnesota. She says, thanks for all you do at Relevant Radio and for the chaplet. My 32-year-old niece just went to the ER with extreme pain and flew up, built up around her heart. She couldn't keep anything down, couldn't get out of bed. So I want to pray for all those coronary issues today, real physical problems with the heart. But I also want to pray for you if you have a broken heart, if you're suffering emotional and psychological wounds of the heart, if you can't forgive, if there's anger in your heart. I really want to ask God to heal us both, you know, physically and spiritually, our physical heart and our spiritual heart. Another person says, you pray for my nephew, 37 years old, had a nervous breakdown several weeks ago, hasn't been in touch with the father since then. As he said he would, he lives far from us. We don't know what's happening with him. And it's always a tremendous fear for people. So let's pray. I'm joined today by my colleague, Chris Flood, and it's always good to pray with her. Chris, how are you today?
I'm well, Drew. Thank you. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Anything you want to pray for?
I would like to pray for all the intentions of our listeners, and especially anyone who's been affected by violent violence. There's so much of it out there in the world, and it breaks hearts.
Well, let's pray. Let's pray for that for sure. I also want to thank everyone for taking the time to write in, to share their answered prayers. And if you've written to me, know that your intention's read. I can't always write back to everyone, but we are praying for you on a daily basis. This person says, Drew, my daughter was pregnant with their first baby, and the doctors put her in high risk because he had five markers in his abdomen. Nobody was able to figure out the issue. And then with his size, that was a concern. He reduced to 5%, which was very concerning. They're worried about getting him proper nutrition. We prayed and we prayed. The baby was a C-section yesterday. His name is Wells Blake Toma. He came into the world 5 pounds, 8 ounces, perfectly healthy, not to mention beautiful. I've never prayed so hard. I want to thank you for being there with us, for teaching us the chaplet and to trust, not to worry. although that was the challenging part, not wearing. Ugh, our family has never been so happy. Well, I am so happy for you, Gene. Thank you for writing in and sharing that good news. Prayers work. They change things. God is in control of everything. Let's put our problems now in the hands of our merciful Lord as we pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call this afternoon from Mary, listening in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm hanging in there. How are you?
Good. I'm fair. I'm praying for my brother. I'm going to pray for your sister, too, but my brother's having more heart procedures tomorrow. He has a five-hour heart ablation procedure, and so I'm praying. He's 80 years old, kind of big fellow, so praying for him. And then my other heart is my husband, Pete. We were married 50 years, June 24th, and he retired just before then. 42 and a half years, he retired June 16th. And then he broke his nose. At our 50th anniversary party, he broke his nose, but had an accident because of the uneven sidewalk at the park we were at.
Right.
So praying for him, because he's going through a lot, retiring and breaking his nose. And so I'm praying for my husband.
I'll tell you what, Mary, I'll pray for your husband. And I'll certainly pray for your brother. And I'm grateful that you're praying for my sister. So we'll pray for our siblings and count on my prayers, not just now, but a little bit later tonight, too. I'll be remembering you and especially your husband now. I just pray for those who have fallen, those who have been victims of accident or tragedy, those in need of healing. Again, I give you our siblings, our parents, our children, Lord. I give to you those with grandchildren. And I give to you those, especially, again, praying for her brother's heart surgery. I pray for all those with cardiac or coronary issues. I lift that up right now as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. I want to pray for a friend of mine, Kay. Kay, I'm looking forward to having dinner with you on Thursday, and we'll be praying for you as well right now. Angie's in Austin, Texas. We'll bring her into the the prayer group as well. Hi, Angie.
Hi, I'm asking for prayers for my dad, Jacinto. He has many health issues, but he's currently in the hospital with COVID and an infection, and he's kind of not responding well. So I'd like prayers for him.
All right, a lot of health problems today. Let's ask God to heal. All right, we'll ask the Lord. Lord, I just ask you today in a special way for an abundance of healing. May you allow those graces to flow, open those channels of grace, remove the obstacles that impede that, and allow this chaplet and all the promises that you've granted to it to come into full force right now. Allow doctors to be amazed and baffled by the results, by the shrinking tumors, by the healthy hearts, by the different scans. And I just give to you right now those test results people are awaiting. And I ask today in particular for all the ailments, all the aches and pains, the sciatica, the back problems, the glaucoma, the respiratory issues, the pulmonary issues, the heart problems, or whatever it might be. I just give you the body in its totality. And I just immerse it in the ocean of your mercy as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to Mark, who's praying with us in Wisconsin, of course, I promise to get your Twitter intentions on. I know phone lines can fill up pretty quickly. Maggie's been monitoring those. And Maggie, what's our family asking us to pray for today?
We got a note from Tom earlier today, a post that he saw on Facebook about farmers. And I wanted to lift up farmers today. The prices of fertilizer are up 3 times what they've been in previous years, and gas and diesel are up. And drought and bad weather, it's like the perfect storm. I just want to pray for them and their livelihoods and their families. Therese wrote to us and said, can you pray for my son Matt today? He was electrocuted while working on his home in North Dakota. Please pray that he is able to sell his home and find a good job soon. Susan wrote to us and said, for my sister Libby, who's going through an ugly divorce right now from her abusive husband. She says, also, thanks be to God, I tweeted in a request about a month ago when a malignant tumor was found on my lung. They did a biopsy, and the head of the thoracic surgery department called and said, there's no cancer, and he cannot explain it.
Wow, I love that. Praise God.
Isn't that great?
I just love it so much.
Tom wrote to us and said, please pray for Rebecca and I in our quest for her annulment and our subsequent marriage. Teresa wrote to us and said, please pray urgently for my daughter. She's going through a lot right now, and her staff is making her job hell. I'm afraid she's going to have many anxiety attacks. She needs all the prayers that she can get. And then Kathleen wrote to us and said, prayer of thanksgiving. Prayed for help concerning my apartment manager, who was considering installing 18 smart meters to be put practically next to our bedroom. It looks like they are not going to be. Thanks be to God.
Wow. Wow. Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's quite diversity there. And Lord, we give you thanks for the way you work and for the many miracles that take place. So many different intentions. We just submit them. Lord, we put them at the foot of the cross of your divine Son, and we ask you to envelop them in your mercy. I want to pray for Marie and Tom Buchanan, friends who just texted me. We'll lift them up in this prayer group. They're joining us in prayer, they say, so part of our family. And Mark is listening in Wisconsin. I want to bring him into the conversation as well. Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Yes, hey. I'd like to pray. I'm facing 6 years in prison, and my fiance just left me, and I feel like I'm going crazy. I just need some prayers.
Brother, is the sentence firm, or it has not been set down yet?
No, sure? No, it's between right. 60 days and 6 years.
All right. Well, we're going to pray against that, first of all, okay? I don't know what the offense was. I'm going to ask the Lord to sit on the seat of mercy for you. And my heart goes out to you. So your fiance has just left you. How long were you guys together?
About 3 years.
Wow, it's tough. Boy, when it rains, it pours, doesn't it? Unbelievable. I'm sorry for you. Look, I want you to really just, I want you to stay firm. It's in times like this when our faith is so tested that I think when we exercise trust, when we put this situation into the hands of the Lord, you're going to really see the fruit of it. I'm going to pray for you personally. I have a real heart for those who have been incarcerated, as I often share about a friend of mine. And we'll just pray. There was a story of another man who called me from Philadelphia. His daughter was facing a heroin charge, and she had to go to jail. I mean, the sentence was about to be meted out, or it was. And there was some technicality. The whole thing got thrown out. He had called the day before she was set to go to jail, called the next day to rejoice in the miracle that took place. I don't know all the details. It was about 2 years ago that happened, 3 years ago. But I'm going to pray for you now, and so is your spiritual family. Hang in there. Be at peace. Do not fear. And trust God, he's going to work this out. You know, the Lord told St. Faustina, you know, he says, don't hesitate to ask, you know, don't worry about bothering me. He says, it pleases me when we give. She wrote this in her diary, I think it was diary 1485. She said, it pleases Christ when we give him our problems. He said to her, you'll give me pleasure if you hand over your troubles, if you hand over your griefs. I can't imagine what you're going through, Mark. He says, I'm very pleased when you confide your fears to me. Speak to me about everything completely, simply, in a human way. And by doing this, you'll give me great joy. You know, the great St. Thomas Kempis, he said, you know, nothing ever suffered for God's sake can pass without merit. And just offer this up, all the trials you're going through now for the conversion of your fiance, for those who most need God's mercy. Lord, I give you right now, Mark, I don't know what it's like to face a jail sentence, but I just ask that you sit on the seat of mercy, that he can call back and rejoice. I want to pray for all who are incarcerated, those who are now depressed and lonely, who feel abandoned. I want to pray for those with broken hearts, as Mark is, his fiance, having left him in such a critical moment. And I just pray for comfort for him and new beginnings, that he can rejoice in your goodness and in your mercy. And I re-echo that for all who are now praying with me, Lord. So often the situations seem unchangeable, but with prayer and your mercy, all things are possible. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Ash is praying with us in Arcadia, California. Hi, Ash. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Good afternoon. Last year, last April, I prayed you to pray for my little grandbaby, Amara, who was 15 months old, and she had neuroblastoma cancer. And after 1.5 years, she's completely cured. Thanks for all the prayers
prayed
in. Yes, and she's fully normal now, and she has one more test to do, but the doctor says she's doing fine. And that's my number one one. And then I prayed for my brother-in-law, who was having was sick with his throat, and that is cured also. That
wow.
was my prayer for that intention at the same time. And then I pray for my wife, who is having cancer, dementia, and mental issues, that God will grant her everlasting peace real soon. She's
beautiful.
In a bad shape right now. And then for all the priests that are ordained this year, and for the peace in Sri Lanka. I come from Sri Lanka.
Oh,
Sri Lanka is having a lot of problems right now. for peace in Sri Lanka. And thank you, Drew, for all the work you do. God bless you and Father Rocky and all the staff at Thank you.
Well, Ash, first of all, let me just thank you. My prayers go to your country. I've been following that story now for a while, and things are really intensifying. Your people are suffering.
It's really bad right now.
Oh, unbelievable. Food shortages, fuel shortages. There's, you know, protests in the streets. So let's pray for your homeland, but let's pray for your wife and her dementia. If you have a chance or somebody can do it for you, send me an email talking about that glioblastoma, disappearing, the healings that we've had here.
I will say, I would love that. I will send you the email on that thing. And that was a miracle. She's a miracle baby. And everybody who has seen her, she was completely disabled last April. Now she's fully walking, talking, all everything. And my son and daughter-in-law are very happy. And
Well, you know, we're going to be praying for you. Let's pray for you right now, Ash. You've got my heart. I'm so grateful that God has answered two of those prayers, and I look forward to seeing your email. Just write in the byline there, the memo answered prayer, so I can see it. I can flag it. Lord, I thank you for the way you've worked. I thank you for the healing of this child. I thank you for all these answered prayers that come in every day here in your time. Some are instant. Some are very quick. Some take a little bit of time. We submit ourselves to your holy will and to your divine plan, Lord. But I give you his wife with dementia. We give you those priests who so beautifully minister to her, and I just pray for their relationship. I don't know what your will is with his wife, but we submit her to you. I put her in your loving embrace. We pray for Sri Lanka and for all those around the world that are suffering from tremendous hardship. I pray here in my own country here for those who are really suffering as well, just trying to make ends meet. We pray for conversion in this country. So I give you these needs and all those who unite with me now as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Joe is listening with us in Old Bridge, New Jersey. Joe, good afternoon. Thanks for dialing in.
Hey, Drew. Hey. Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to keep it brief.
Sure.
First of all, I have to say prayers of thanksgiving to God for everything he's doing for me. And also prayers for Relevant Radio, your sister. And also, lastly, urgent prayers for Janelle, a 26-year-old girl, family friend. Last night at 8 p.m., she got into a head-on collision and was airlifted out of the scene. So just prayers for her, her family, and everyone that's working with her in this critical time.
You got it, brother. And we'll pray for you, for all your needs, all your personal intentions. Thank you for your prayers. Lord, I do pray for this young woman in this head-on collision, this car accident. I pray for all those in critical condition, all those in the ICUs, NICUs, PICUs. And I just ask for those who are in need of a real miracle, Lord. We don't know the day or the hour when you come to call us. We don't know the day or the hour when our life will change. I just ask that your mercy protect us, envelop us, guide us, guard us, bring us healing, draw us closer to you. I give to you now everyone that's on hold with me. I give to you, Lord, all the intentions that we carry so deeply in our heart, those things that we pray for. We ask for your will to be done in our lives. We just pray for your mercy, especially now and at the hour of our death, as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, an atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven. Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine.
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Faustina.
Pray for us.
St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
St. Peregrine.
Pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
St. Benedict.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko.
Pray for us.
And all you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I'm going to add another virgin to the litany that we often pray. Sometimes I throw in Our Lady of Palestine. It was actually made a night on her feast day, a night of the Holy Sepulchre. But I think we need to pray to Our Lady, the reconciler of peoples and nations. I think about what's going on in Sri Lanka. I think about the division between Ukraine and Russia, the tumult in the world. Our Lady appeared in Batania, Venezuela, and she came under that title, came under many titles, but came as that title. And I always thought it was so, I always felt like that was a title yet to come, that particular title was meant to be heard by the world, because she came on March 25th, 1984. It was the anniversary of the day that John Paul II consecrated the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, fulfilling that long-desired Fatima request of the Virgin to consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart. Of course, Pope Francis recently re-echoed that. But I'll have to share the story with you one day about that. Please also send me your answered prayers. I know that we're going to get several of those in, but I love these glioblastomas going away and somebody who can't even move suddenly having mobility. God is working here, I'm telling you. And if God has worked in your life, email me, drew@relevantradio.com. In the memo field, just put answered prayer and tell me your story. All right. When I return, I want to talk to you about solutions to the problems that face this world. You know, so often we live in a world where vice and sin dominate. The solution is the antidote. We need virtue. Our founding fathers understood that, and that's the only thing that will allow America to continue to be the great nation that God has intended it to be. Dr. John Garvey will be joining me when I return. Stay with me. A great conversation to ensue.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter @DrewMarianiShow.
Relevant Radio runs on horsepower, your horsepower. Donate any vehicle and keep your station running. Join in with thousands of other listeners who have given their unused vehicles at relevantradio.com/car.
St. Thomas Aquinas' teaching on natural law and its relation to human law has had an enormous influence, but it isn't always easy for us to understand it unless we grasp the deep roots it has in his wider thought centered on God. Eternal law is the highest kind of law. Aquinas says that it is the eternal plan of order in the mind of God for the whole universe, and further, that this plan is in a certain way in the creatures that God creates, so that they have an inclination or tendency to their own proper acts and ends according to where they fit in this vast and beautiful divine plan. This eternal law, this plan of God, is imprinted in rational creatures, like human beings, in a special way. And Aquinas calls this the natural law. He says that the natural law is the rational creature's participation in the eternal law.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. That is profound. That was Father Dominic Legge from the Thomistic Institute giving you a little insight into natural law. I was thinking a lot about this just recently. I often say that virtue is the antidote for the problems of the culture. And I'm absolutely convinced. I'm convinced of it. I really am. There is a there's a new book out, and it may be something that you want to read. It probably belongs on your bookshelf. And the books I choose, you know, I think are important to have. I mean, certain books on the bookshelf to go back to. And one of those is written by my next guest, Dr. John Garvey will be with me in just a quick second here, and I'll get you plugged into it. You know, he serves right now as the president of Catholic University of America. He's been there for, I think, about 12 years. And the thing I like about him, he's introducing students to the virtuous life. And he's telling them, look, this is the only way to true happiness. And I think this is a message underspoken, undertaught. And he wrote this book. It was based, I think, on a bunch of commencement speeches he's given over the past 25 years. So you can actually read it out loud. It doesn't sound like you're reading a book. It's a good read. It's called The Virtues. And I was thinking about it because, look, we just celebrated the 4th of July, right? There's this famous story of when Benjamin Franklin was leaving Independence Hall, you know, the very final day of deliberations in 1787. He was leaving the Constitutional Convention. And, people were there, and they asked, doctor, you know, what kind of government do we have? You know, what did you guys decide on? Is it a republic? Is it a monarchy? And you, I'm sure, know the story. He turns to the person that says this and says, a republic if you can keep it. And what did he mean by that? Here's a clue. And here's really what I think he meant by that. Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. And as nations become more corrupt and vicious, they're in more need of masters. You know, in other words, if we're going to keep our form of government, which is a republican democracy, we're a democratic republic, right? In order to allow this to succeed, we need a virtuous people. I think that's the problem we're seeing in the culture today, don't you? That this partisan divide over horrible issues, we're confused over gender and all these gender fluidity issues that are out there, and it's all rooted in the moral, right? Abortion. I mean, how much clearer can it get? You know, it is a human life. Who's going to argue against what's in the womb of a mother, right? And yet we somehow justify it's okay to kill the child and advocate that rights are more important than life. Right, and we can go through all the problems that we see in the culture, whether it's greed, et cetera. You can go through the whole racism, prejudice, I mean, whatever. It all is rooted in lack of love and respect for the dignity of the human person and a loss of virtue. It's an embracement of vice. And we need to exercise virtue. We need to put aside vice. George Washington, you know, our first president, he said virtue or morality is it's a necessary spring of our popular government. Unfortunately, I think, you know, we've come up with the idea that a democracy means that we can do whatever we want as long as we want, as long as it doesn't hurt someone else. You know, you can think that you're a woman, even though you're a man, it doesn't hurt you. As long as it doesn't hurt somebody, it's okay to kill that child as long as it doesn't hurt somebody. We're given this idea that we need to exercise virtue not exercise virtue, really, and embrace license. That's the popular mindset. And I think if we continue down this path, this is my personal view, I think we are in for a very troubled future. You know, Franklin said, as nations become more corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. Washington said, human rights can only be assured amongst a virtuous people, right? The government, the general government, can never be in danger of degenerating into a monarchy, an oligarchy, an aristocrat, to form a government, a despotic or oppressive form of government, so long as virtue's there. very fundamental. John Adams says our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for any others. These are the founding fathers. So what is the future of America right now? How important is it that we teach virtue to our children and to their children? I think it's of paramount importance. I think it's of paramount importance, not just for the future of our republic, but I think for the future of, for their eternal future. I'm joined today by Dr. John Garvey. It's good to have him here with me. Thank you for your writing, and thank you for taking time to be with us this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew. It's nice to be on your show. I have to correct you. I'm not an actual doctor. I'm just a lawyer. So
my apologies. I didn't have your bio in front of me. I just was reading your article. It's good to have you here, though.
I had a degree. Well, it's really nice to be on here. And let me tell you, as a lawyer, you put your finger on exactly the right point that in a democracy, the government's going to be as good as the people are and no better. So virtue is really crucial to self-governance, but it's also important or essential for happiness in human life. This is not an original idea with me. It's as old as Aristotle.
Yeah, and it's not an original idea to our founding fathers, and you're right, it goes back all the way to Aristotle. Look, it's natural law, too. Let's talk about definitions, if we can, first. Virtue. You titled your book that. The Catholic Church has a very clear teaching on what virtue is, but can you kind of define what that is? How do you see it? Why is it so critical?
Sure. In my book, I talk about a variety of different kinds of virtues. Catholics are familiar with the notion of the theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. This is a notion of virtue that entails the grace of the Holy Spirit. But before Catholics came on the scene, Greeks talked about the cardinal virtues, a notion which you'll also find in St. Thomas Aquinas. Those are prudence, justice, fortitude, and temperance. Last Saturday, there was a really interesting piece in the Wall Street Journal about a charter school in the Bronx that was occupying the building. It used to be a Catholic school, Blessed Sacrament, the school that Sonia Sotomayor attended. And the founder of the charter school, a man who was not himself Catholic, said, you know, this the school is going to be based on the virtues. We expect the students to embrace prudence and justice and courage and temperance. It sounded like a familiar notion, but you don't have to be Catholic to embrace the notion of the cardinal virtues. And my book talks about these. And then it talks in a third section about what St. Francis de Sales called the little virtues, things that are not major league virtues like faith, hope, and charity, but smaller things like magnanimity and patience and so on.
Yeah,
and all of these virtues, the theological virtues and the cardinal virtues, are habits that we form by repeatedly doing the right thing. You become a generous person by repeatedly giving to other people. You become a patient person by, I'm still working at this one, by biting your tongue and, keeping your anger in check.
You know, so often, I think about some of those great virtues out there, you know, temperance. You take a look at the opposite of that. I mean, if you have excess in your life, if there's gluttony, if you drink too much, the culture sees those virtues as the church saying no, no, no to you. You can't drink. You can't have sex when you want. As if though virtue deprives you of freedom. But the reality is, Doctor, maybe you can expand on this. Virtue really allows you to live free, doesn't it? It's quite the opposite of how the world sees it.
You know what I love about thinking about the moral life in terms of virtues is that it's just the opposite of an approach that says, no, 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 don't do this, don't do that. The reason I teach a course to freshmen in the honors program at Catholic University called The Virtues, and the appeal of it as a way of teaching the moral life to students is that it's not an approach that says, don't do this, don't do that. It's an approach that offers them a vision of something that's beautiful and happy. If you want to be happy and successful in your life, if you want your dreams to come true, if you want to fulfill the all the good things that are within you, think about acquiring these habits and, you know, living your life in this way. So it holds up a positive picture rather than a negative picture.
That's so true. My guest today, John Garvey, if you want to join us, the number here is 888-914-9149. I've got to take a short break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more. He came out with a brand new book called Virtues. I think it belongs in your spiritual library. I think this is the solution to so many of the problems that perhaps you struggle with personally, on a very personal scale. Living a life of virtue will transform your life, and it will set you on a path of freedom. I think societally, we need this more than ever. Stay with me. Our conversation continues. Feel free to pull up a chair. We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your life connected.
Hey, thanks for joining me. You know, I'm sitting back. I'm looking at the news. And honestly, I've got to be truthful with you. It's kind of my job to be in the know, be up on what's happening in the economy, international affairs, world of politics, science, COVID. I mean, I'm immersed in this stuff. And sometimes it can become toxic. You know, and you think, where is the world going? You can get overdosed on it. And, you know, sometimes you just have to step back. And I've done that recently. I really tried just to disconnect for a little bit. You know, what gives me solace and hope, what allows me to be able to digest this poison on a regular basis, is my faith. It's having a prayer life. It's knowing that God brings good out of every situation, and knowing that if we can foster and build a culture of life and love and virtue, the world will change. I go back to the early church. I use them as a model all the time. I think about how outgunned and outnumbered those handful of early Christians were. You know, they lived in a pagan world, and they were enemies of the state for 300 years. They were tortured. You know, they were executed. The life they lived was horrific, and many laid their life down. They were smeared with pitch and set afire by Nero to light the night sky. They were fed to lions. They were boiled in oil. They were flayed alive. I mean, you think of what they could do, and yet Christianity prospered. They lived the teachings, the tenets of our Catholic faith, the church that Christ established. And the world was transformed. The communities they lived were transformed. They lived lives of virtue. They lived lives of virtue. And that's what we need today. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says that a virtue is a habitual and firm disposition to the good. That it allows a person not only to perform good acts, but to give the best of himself. He pursues the good and chooses it in concrete actions. Pray for that. Pray for virtue. You know, virtue builds integrity of life. It builds your character. It's like a muscle, though. And here's the thing about virtue. And just like vice, it's easy to get fat if we eat too much, right? We drink too much. We don't exercise. We need to build our spiritual muscles. You got to practice them. You got to go out. You got to rise above that temptation to excess, to lust, to all those things that challenges you. You know, and there's a new book out. It's called Virtue. It's written by John Garvey. He just retired from being president of Catholic University of America. He's now on sabbatical, but he's returning to teach law. And his new book is out, and he's teaching these principles to the next generation. This is what we need. You know, I often decry our institutions of higher learning because of what comes out of them and the indoctrination that is often taking place in these institutions, stuff that really warps, you know, our young the next generation's mind and vision of the world. What John is doing is quite the opposite, and I think this is needed. Maybe give it to somebody you love. Check out the book Virtue, or The Virtues is the actual title of it. Hey, John, before we talk more, and we can grab a few phone calls, I would love your where do we get your book? I mean, what's the best way to get connected to it, and what will people find in picking it up?
It's published by the Catholic University of America Press. I think you can buy it on Amazon. In fact, I think it was the last week. It was the top-selling Amazon book in the category that it falls in about religion and ethics. So you can get it online. I haven't been banned yet. Bye.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Number one book. That's fantastic. I'm surprised it hasn't been banned. That is so funny. Let's take a call or two. We only have a few minutes. Time goes so quickly here. Dee Dee wants to talk with you. Dee Dee's listening in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Dee Dee. You're on the air with John Garvey. Go right ahead.
Hi, John.
Hi, Dee Dee.
Hello? Yeah.
Hi, Dee Dee. Can you hear me?
This is my question. Yes. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Why do people that practice virtues, whatever the virtue, they always look so sad? And in my opinion, it seems to me we ought to practice virtues with more passion.
I love that.
I think it's a really good question. And, you know, there's an interesting thing. St. Thomas Aquinas, in talking about the virtue of temperance, says that the vice that people are tempted to engage in with the virtue of temperance is pride. You know how at the beginning of Lent, we read the gospel that says, when you fast, don't put on sackcloth and ashes, mm-hmm. put on a happy face. People like to show off their practice of virtue, and that in itself is a vice. I think it's people who look sad when they're practicing virtues have the wrong end of the stick. I mean, my argument is that virtues are the way to be happy. This is not original with me. It's an argument that Aristotle makes. He says that if you want to be truly happy, practice the virtues. It's and you know, it's important to understand that virtues aren't academics are inclined to think that the way to become virtuous is to get a hold of the right idea and right. work at that. In fact, learning to practice virtue is like learning to swim or answer the telephone or play baseball. It's a habit that you pick up, you practice it, and then it becomes, as Aristotle says, second nature. It's just part of who you are. And people who are naturally virtuous are naturally happy.
That's so true, and I do love that. Yeah, you're right. It's like getting that golf swing down. Muscle memory, spiritual muscle mm-hmm. memory, if you will. It's instant when you're faced with that moral challenge. Virtue, rises. I only have a minute or two left here. We'll grab another call, but before I do, outside of the personal, I'm just looking societally here. You know, John Adams, he once said that, look, liberty can no more exist without virtue. And independence than the body can live or move without a soul. What do you see for the future of this country? I mean, we have really become vice-ridden, very disoriented. How important is this for the future of our republic? And how do we bring about a healthier America?
I think the future of our republic depends on it. Remember that in a democracy, the ultimate authority, the power flows from the people. So rather than complain about how things are, we need to look to our own selves. As Adam says, the government is going to be no better than the people who themselves are sovereign. So I think a virtuous people will produce a good government. But we need to begin at home. A good government, like faith, is first taught by parents to their children.
You're right. We're the primary educators. Can't leave it up just to the institutions, although I'm grateful for what CUA has done and especially for your book. Hey, John, thank you for joining me today on short
Thanks
notice.
Thanks for your interest, Drew. I appreciate it.
When I saw your book title and I realized you gave a lot of these commencement speeches, I thought, this is a must. I want it on my spiritual. I want it in my library. I got a number of different books here, and I just think virtue is the answer. And I was so grateful to hear somebody out, you know, writing about it and talking about it and forming the next generation with it. So you're making a difference. Keep up your good work.
Thank you very much, Drew. Thanks for your interest. And thanks to your listeners for joining you and me this afternoon.
You got it. That's John Garvey. You can pick up his book, The Virtues. And as I said, I have a, if you ever come into my personal office, you'll see a ton of different books, ranging from the spiritual to the political. I mean, it covers the gamut. This is one that belongs on there. And it's again, it's something that, look, I'll suggest another book. This is an absolute must for your library. Two books. You need the Bible, of course. We need to keep Scripture open. We need to read it. But secondly, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I mean, it speaks eloquently of the importance of virtue, right? And any question you might have regarding the faith, it's all contained there. So some book suggestions for you today. My takeaway from John, though, and I think he's so right. When you talk about virtue, you might think, well, I try, but I keep falling. I keep failing at practicing virtue. I keep giving in to that temptation, that excess, whatever it might be. You got to build that muscle memory. You keep practicing virtue like the violinist who playing guitar or piano, you know, it was like when you first tried to start, right? How difficult the chord progressions were, the hand positions were. And now it's like nothing. You know? That's what virtue is like. Practice it, it will become second nature.